I said Adnan Syed is free, Adnan Sami is skinny, and Anan is tasty.
Welcome to Mild Mannered and Timid, with three brown folks that are tired of that safe shit.
Hi, everyone. Welcome. Mild Mannered and Timid. This is Mild Mannered and Timid, episode 133. Am I correct? A head nod will do. Kush or Rhea, is 133 a good idea?
I actually don't know.
Well,
yeah, it's 133.
Mostly I was asking Kush. Welcome to Mild Mannered and Timid. I'm Kunal.
And the woman gets shut down immediately.
I'm here with my co-hosts, Kush and Rhea. It's been, I think, about 2-3 weeks since our last episode, and I'm going to try a different format. I think after 133 episodes, I should have thought of this earlier, but instead, we're going to try and do this now. So this episode, we got a whole lot of shit to cover. A few things we're going to cover is that, you know, Starbucks has a new CEO. India and China are moving away from their disputed border. We got a street named after A.R. Rahman in Canada. September 17th was Modi's birthday. An Indian guy is now the second richest man in the world above Jeff Bezos. Nav's fucking album went number 2. Adnan Syed went free. The Sikh population seems to be in the news a lot recently. There's a couple things I have to cover for that. We have a fucking weirdo alien hunting duo from Harvard that we can discuss for a few. There's a female Indian cricket player who is retiring. Evidently, India is an inspirational place for space, which I didn't realize.
Coach, how do you feel?
and then we're gonna cover some violence that occurred in Leicester. That's in the United Kingdom. We're gonna cover the bulldozer that, you know, the Edison parade had, the Independence Day parade. We're gonna cover the fallout from that.
That was an Edison, you said, right?
Yeah, that was an Edison. Yeah. I'm gonna talk to you guys about resort politics, which I didn't know was a thing, but it's actually a thing in India. And when I tell you
like
what
when
it's
you go
about,
to Cancun?
It's actually just like that. And when I tell you what it is, you're gonna flip out.
No all inclusive deals.
and then an Indian professor who I guess you know in aligning with this podcast. Women's rights are really just not talked about on this podcast because we don't give a fuck about women. And so there is an article about an Indian professor who posted a swimsuit photo that I wanted to talk about in India, and then her life fell apart. So that's what we're hoping to cover this entire episode. But I wanted to start with like a little bit of bullshitting in terms of, well, the queen died. The queen died, guys. How did you feel about the queen dying?
Man, when I first heard about it, I just kind of like put my head down and I was just like, hell yeah, bitch, you did.
When I heard about it.
Fuck you and your people.
Oh, shit. He just went in. When I heard about it, I said, oh no. That's
British,
all I did.
Ghost, British accent.
The corgis,
ghost.
Where will the corgis go?
So, you know, this format just requires, why don't we just run through, and obviously we're learning with the listener, so I thought, why don't we just run through what we're going to discuss, and then we can bullshit for like a few minutes and then jump right into it, you know what I mean? So I probably just jumped the gun by asking about the queen, because I should have more actually asked about my queens. Kush and Rhea, how are you guys doing?
Oh my, what a segue.
It's been some weeks. How are you guys doing?
The real queen, you can go first.
I was actually going to say the same about you, Kush.
Oh my God.
Because if you notice, like, Kunal said your name first.
I know.
Kush,
you and
real
I
queens.
Are on the same tier. We are both the same tier.
Kush just came back from a vacation, I know. Which is dope.
I was in Mexico in Cancun, but with my parents. So
did you deal with resort politics?
I think I did. There was some money politics involved with the resort.
Oh,
I was gonna say, did you hear or see any violence? Because I feel like I've seen that in the news recently. That even like the resort areas are getting like encroached upon a little by the cartels.
No, because the resorts that we were at, like I saw the federal army. There.
Whoa, like, I wonder if that's as a response, because that's crazy.
Patrolling the streets and stuff. So, like, we were in an area where it was all resorts, so there wasn't, like, much of an entrance or an exit for bad things to happen. It was just mostly people in resorts in the area.
That's good.
So
that's
we were able to walk
safer.
Around outside of the resorts for like a good distance.
Okay.
So it wasn't bad like that.
Were your parents the type that go to other places and try to find Indian food?
No. They pretty much understood. But it was funny because we saw like an old Indian group of men and women. So they were just like grandpas and grandmas. Mm-hmm. And one of them, they just recognized me right away, like as being Indian instead of Mexican. Aww. Because a lot of people thought I was Mexican there. And I got in the elevator with them. The woman turns around, like real old lady, and she's like, "Toronto?" And I was like, "No."
What?
And I was like, "New Jersey." And she was like, "Oh, okay." I was like, "Oh, you guys
Wait,
are from
she
Toronto."
She thought you were
right?
Nav.
There's so many.
She thought you were Nav?
Yeah, she thought I was Nav.
Or she thought your name was Toronto.
Yeah. No, she just looked me up and down, and she like knew right away I was brown, but she just assumed I was from Toronto.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Were they from Toronto?
That's where a lot of people vacation to Mexico from for some reason.
How old was she, do you think?
She must be like 70 years old. That entire group was in their 70s.
I'm surprised she could say the word Toronto.
Yeah, but one of the men in the group asked me,
Kunal, what
like,
is
do
your
you know
opinion?
Any Indi-
like, sorry, go ahead.
He asked me, where, are there any Indian restaurants around here? I was like,
Why
no,
you
man,
know?
You're at an all-inclusive resort. Dude. Just like eat the food that's here.
That would be my dad for sure.
Well, I'm glad you had a good vacation. When we've gone on a cruise, like when my parents and I went on a cruise back in the day, my dad somehow always was able to hustle up, not Indian food, Gujarati food on a cruise.
Yeah.
Which is insanity to me.
Oh, they brought tepla.
They brought it?
This group? Yeah, because we would go to the buffet area, and they would sit down, and they would just pull out
They
teplas.
Brought food to a fucking buffet?
Yeah.
Not
they
only did they bring food
to a buffet.
They brought teplas.
That makes me
yeah,
so
angry. So they
angry.
Get their Indian food out of the way, and then they go to the buffet and get more food.
That is anger-inducing. That is just not cool.
There's
that
like,
is
like
not
our parents
cool. Weird.
Eat American breakfast. Like, usually in those buffets, it's like fruits and like toast and eggs. Like, our parents eat that stuff. Why do they
yeah,
insist?
My parents love breakfast.
Yeah, like, why do they insist on bringing also their Indian stuff? I don't know. Like, I get it like 20 years ago, even 10 years ago, but now it's just like, bro, you just were able to afford an all-inclusive cruise. Like, just enjoy it.
Yeah.
Just enjoy it.
So what,
it's fine. It's okay. You'll yeah, survive.
Exactly.
Would you
Without
rate the vacation?
Hipla.
Would you rate the vacation 10 of 10? Would do again?
I wouldn't.
You hate your parents? Is that what you're saying?
It was one day too many with my parents.
I see.
If it was one day less, I would rate it a 10 out of 10.
Got you. Okay.
Got it.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's
there
fair.
Is that point, that significant point yeah. when you're just like, I don't love yeah. you anymore.
Well, not just that, because it's a resort and it's all inclusive.
Yeah.
It's like you don't want to go other places and spend money because yeah. you spend all your money in this one section. The only time we went on an excursion was to see Kukulkan.
Oh yeah.
Pyramid. Did you guys clap in front of the stairway?
No.
In front of the
no?
steps?
Why did you do that? You bring spirits back with you?
No, so like the way they built the pyramid, the acoustics, it creates the sound of this bird.
Oh, they told us about this, but I don't remember
yeah,
doing it.
Yeah, and you
it,
could hear
I remember.
It. Yeah, we did it, and I would do it by myself, too, and then it just makes, like, this chirping sound back
That's
at
so
you
cool.
instead of, like, an echo of the clapping.
Meanwhile, we, meaning India, can't even send a satellite into space, but these cats have acoustics that they can make with their hands that sound like birds.
yeah,
these guys are
dope. Pyramids.
I like that. I like that a lot. Well, I'm glad you had a good vacation. Rhea, I would Thank be you. Remiss if I didn't ask, how are you?
Yeah.
For the listeners, how are you doing?
I'm good. My mom was here for about 9 days, so she left yesterday, and I feel like it was in the beginning where she was just, Kunal and I were like, yo, she was just yap, yap, yap.
Yeah, her
constantly.
Name has been changed in my phone book. It's
Devjani
Yap-Bomik. It's
yeah,
Yap-Bomik.
She,
that's what it is.
Yeah, just like notice how our parents are getting older and their habits are like changing, but she had a really nice time. I think she was a little sad to go back. Really random, but you know, Kush, did you ever like go to India when you were like really young in the summers and stuff with your parents?
Yeah.
I was very close to my grandparents since they raised me. So a lot of my friends who would like go to India, like they would kind of go as like, oh, I get kind of bored. I don't really know my grandparents that much. I have to like go see family. It's obligation. But I was like always looking forward to going to India for that reason. But every time I came back, it was like hysterical waterworks at the airport because I was always reminded that my parents snatched me away from my grandparents. Right? Especially in the earlier years when I first,
We lost her.
We lost her. Anyways.
But when I went to India, like, I would never want to go to India, but I never wanted to leave. It was weird. Like,
But how long did you go for?
The shortest trip might have been 2 weeks that I've ever gone.
Okay.
You can't really go less than 2 weeks. I feel like that's just making yourself too crazy.
You can't go for less than 2 weeks?
I can't go less than 2 weeks. It just makes no sense.
Okay, yeah. Because when I went a week in Chennai, I was like, yeah. I mean, it was Chennai, but then it was also like, yeah, it's fine. But I guess if you're 2 weeks at a place, you don't want to come back.
Yeah, Rhea, I was saying that I never wanted to go to India, like when every time I went, because I'm just like, oh, man, I'm not going to like know my family over here too well and blah, blah, blah. But then every time I stay there, I never want to leave. Yeah.
The airport with my mom, and I was getting her to the baggage and all that stuff, and I saw this family that might have been like some sort of Central American or Mexican, and it was like a kid, a grandma, a mom, possibly a dad, and the grandma seemed fine, but the kid and who I think was his mom were hugging and like hysterically crying. And so I was just like, this doesn't seem like a normal like, oh, bye, see you later kind of like flight. It just felt I'm assuming, but I don't know. I was like, oh, maybe that's like somebody who lives elsewhere and like doesn't get to see their family often and like is separated from their kid. But like felt really sad. I was like, damn, that's how our parents used to be. And then I thought about it. I was like, imagine seeing your own parents once every like 3-4 years and putting all your savings for however long you saved up for that flight ticket, because it was so much more expensive back then. It was like $2,000 a person. It was like to take the whole family. That shit cost them like $8,000. That's so much money back then, you know?
Yeah. And so my dad's parents lived in India this entire time.
Oh wow.
So like he barely got to see his parents. I remember one time when my dad went and I was with him, like we opened the door, his mom comes out and she starts crying. She's just like, my baby's home, like my beta, like this and that. She just starts bawling immediately.
Like what my mom does to my brother every day.
When she doesn't see him after 4 hours.
She forgets that your brother exists. So every time she sees him,
she
starts crying.
She's basically Bosco. Because Bosco reacts like that to your mom every time she comes in. Much.
That's
crazy. I was like, damn, that's so wild. Cause I was like, oh, a little sad that like she was leaving. Cause I was like, man, she's experiencing so many things for the first time because we're here. And I feel like grateful that we have that ability to be here so that she can at least travel somewhere close by and get to enjoy nice things. But it is, you know, it sucks. For me, it's like a situation where I'm like, I feel like she's a little bit lonely otherwise. But seeing that family, I was like, oh, that shit put things into perspective real quick for me. But anywho, I'm good otherwise.
Good.
I'm doing okay.
Good. I mean,
I forgot that was the question.
Yeah. and speaking of your mom leaving, so now would be an appropriate segue into, so like the queen died and my top line on that was just that I feel like I saw, I mean, my family also, this kind of all revolves together because my family never went to India. We went to London. So not that I necessarily feel any bigger connection to the Parliament of the UK or anything. In fact, I don't really recall how that was any different when I used to travel back in the day there. Like, I didn't really feel like their world was based around the Queen and Parliament and all that stuff. Like, it was fine. It was normal. But I did see a lot of people online just fucking... I didn't realize there was so much hatred for this lady. I did not realize. Like, I knew there was. I knew there was, right? And I always knew some people were going to hate it. But people were like, people were really like, yo, basically what Rhea did. Like, fuck that bitch. And like, they were like, we piss on her grave and all.
That was literally Kush.
That was Kush. I'm sorry.
He's mixing up his queens. He's mixing up his fucking queens.
And you look more like his wife than I do. What is going on?
And I was really kind of taken aback by that because I just like, you know, there were a lot of people who were talking about all the different colonies that the you know, the English took over. Of course, they colonized India as well. Just they've done this forever, all the people. And I just don't know how I felt. I was like, oh, okay, a lady died. Like, this is going to be, you know, somebody else is going to be king and really not have much power, because I don't think the monarchy in England has all that much power. It's more just like a symbol.
Yeah.
But people were so mad. And I was like, did you grow up in the 1400s? Was that what happened? Right. Or like, what's going on here?
You know, I kind of expected that.
I get it. I totally get it. I just was like really weirded out by how crazy some people were about the shit.
Well, we know like there's like the actual feeling that people have, which is probably at like 25 to 40%, but then you know how things get performative online. And yeah, so it's probably just heightened a little bit. If one person says it, the other person who's also brown is not going to be like, oh no, I'm so sorry the queen died. They're going to be like, oh shit, I probably should not be sorry that the queen died. I probably should make sure that I say something.
That's so funny, because I've had the opposite experience of what I've seen as reactions. I was confused as to why there's so many people in the brown community that cared about the royal family.
That's interesting. That
means, that's like, interesting. Yeah, that part, that factors into it too. I'm like, why do you care so much? Like, what is
it? Yeah, because I know one of our friends, like, she loves, like, anything to do with the queen.
Your
and
friend
the royal
loves
family
the queen.
Wait, really? That's so funny.
Yeah, she'll, like, watch anything that has to do with, like, royalty and the royal family. Huh. And I'm just, and, like, I see that sentiment, like, with other brown people too.
Sure.
But it just feels weird, because I'm just like, didn't these motherfuckers just, like, fuck up our whole shit?
Yeah.
Years ago. Fair. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Didn't they steal a lot of jewels, and don't they still have
it? Yeah, they still have them. Like, to be clear, I get it. I totally get it, why people would be angry, why people would be mad. It just seemed really exaggerated in certain areas where I was like, wait, what happened to you? I'll
be very honest. You guys know that obviously I know what happened, you know, with the colonization and stuff, but you know that for a very long time, like, I was very uninterested in history because it felt so boring. But as I got older and I started to realize, like, how much they really took over our lives and fucked us over, I think the anger builds over the years, as opposed to something you truly felt when you're younger, because you don't know when you're younger. And then when you get older, you're like, this is really fucked. And I really, you know what I mean? I think that's probably what it is. Like, no, I didn't grow up in the 1400s, but yo, why the fuck should I be celebrating this woman when you've literally changed the course of entire...
The only weird thing to me was just, I was like, no one's asking you to celebrate. It's just kind of like, people couldn't even just be like, yo, rest in peace. People had a problem with people saying rest in peace. I was like, yo, what the fuck? This lady's like 100 years old.
Like,
she died. Like, just
misery,
let her be.
Bitch. Snitches get stitches, bitch.
Yeah, they were like, rest in piss. You killed my grandfather, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, what? Like, what is going on? But...
it's generational trauma, man.
Yeah, right.
Generational trauma.
I get it. It was just really weird. That was just my observation. So then,
it's just very intense, right? Yeah.
In keeping in line with being weird observations, so Rhea's dad kept saying this thing over the past like week or two that I can't quite put my finger on.
He kept saying
India is more advanced than the U.S. Like, he really kept throwing that shit at us, and I don't really have an answer for this. Wait, what'd you say, Rhea?
This is while we were just giving Kush context. This happened while we were in New York multiple times to our face.
Anything that would come up, he would just say, like, India is more advanced than the U.S. Like, I think maybe I was talking about a toilet at some point, and he was like, India is more advanced than the U.S. And then...
I mean, he built a whole irrigation system out of cans.
Maybe he knows something. Maybe he fucking knows something.
He knows more than that we're giving him credit for.
Yeah, that's true. Rhea's dad just kept saying that, and I was just like, I can't figure out where this comes from. And I wonder if, like, any of our listeners have the same experience where maybe, like,
with their old fathers.
Yeah, or their parents. Like, their mothers could be saying that too. That, like, I don't think Rhea's dad said this over the course of his entire life, but suddenly in, like, the last year or two, he thinks India is, like, way more advanced in all aspects. Like, their technology is better. Their response to COVID was better. I mean, it's just a weird tidbit that I think kind of belies why we do this whole podcast too, which is like, there's been this strange uptick in India's the best and like India
nationalism
and all this stuff. And it's like, the way that we're always going to get, if we try to talk about it with our parents or with other people, even people in our generation who are like strangely nationalistic, they'll always be like, you're not from there, you don't know anything, blah, 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 all this sort of stuff. And this is our way of kind of combating that. We can at least, you know, it's not like we're totally pulling things out of our ass. We at least have like certain baselines that we can talk about, which is what I hope, which is what I hope the listeners get out of this too. But yeah, the weirdest one was Rhea's dad said India had like a better response to COVID than the US.
Yeah, that one made me laugh.
And I was just like, in what world? And I think
so what's really funny is he told that to my mom. My mom's actually the one from India. And my mom straight up was like, you know how much that they fudged the numbers, right? Yeah, my mom said this to him. And then she also said, do you know how many people that are unaccounted for, people who are living in the slums who literally cannot, like, they don't have, they cannot be even counted for? And yeah, he just, like, kept on saying a whole bunch of other stuff. And I was like, he's not even from there. Like, I don't understand this, like, crazy nationalism. But I'll explain the little background as to why he even said it in the first place. My dad's going to India for a couple of months, and he started asking me if he can put in a SIM card or something. He just thinks since I lived there for a little while that somehow I'll know the answers to all these questions. And I was like, I worked for somebody who had an actual business who they took care of these things for us because we were their employees.
Sure.
And so I didn't just wander around like an idiot coming from America by myself, you know, figuring this stuff out. And I told him, I was just like, I don't understand why you're going by yourself and all this stuff. But he was talking about the SIM card thing. And I was like, Baba, I don't know. You have to go there and figure it out with your phone. He was like, I'm not worried. They're one of the most technologically advanced countries in the entire world.
That was the time he chose to say that.
And then he said, he's like, do you know how advanced they are? They had the COVID vaccination app on their phone so many years ago. We've been holding our vaccination card. And I looked at him and I was like, there's been an app for your vaccination record since the beginning as well here. Don't know it. Like, he literally was just like, they know what they're doing. They've had the app. Therefore, that means they are advanced.
Jai Hind.
Yo, exactly. And I'm like, even if you're not from there, right? Because like, I know. And that's an important part, right? That's an important part to at least note that like, he's not from India. He's from Bangladesh. But even if you aren't, like, you're still allowed to have an opinion on a place. But I just expect that you use the facts. And to say that India had a better COVID response or that India has better technology, I'm like, wait, are we reading the same news? Because like, two of your satellites just fell out of fucking orbit because you made them an ellipse instead of a circle. And like, I don't understand what's going on.
That line, numbers don't lie, doesn't have like any meaning anymore.
Not anymore. You're right. Jay-Z is wrong. Jay-Z is absolutely wrong. Jay-Z men lie, wrong. Women lie, numbers lie. We're fucked. That's the quote. That's the new quote.
Everything is a lie.
So yeah, just a little thing. And then the only other thing, I was watching an episode of Mo yesterday. I don't know if either of you watch.
Well, I put it on my list to watch.
I know Rhea doesn't. I'm acting like I don't live in the same fucking house as her, but I know she doesn't watch it, but she's seen me watch it. And it's, know enough about it, right? Cause it's like from the guy who created Rami as well.
I added it to my list cause I still need to fill this part of my soul that misses Man Like Mo Bean.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Which is coming back,
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We were so overjoyed. We need fucking Guz Khan on our podcast or in one of our future productions or something, because
do you know how many times we've watched that episode when he ate farts in the car?
He's going to have a plug in the car.
How many times we've rewatched it? It doesn't stop being funny.
No, I need to get in touch with Guz. I don't know how, but we need to. Somehow.
We'll figure it out.
He got let go from Our Flag Means Death.
Is that a show?
That pirate show on HBO with Taika Waititi.
How come?
I don't know. There hasn't been that much information out, but he got a call one day and they told him that he wouldn't be in for a second. Maybe
they wrote his character off or something.
I don't know, but he made a post about it. Like, something was happening behind the scenes he was upset about. But
shit.
Damn, I like Guz Khan. I don't know anything about him besides his show, but what the hell?
Oh, good luck. Good luck to him, though. I'm sure he'll be all right, because the character he's created is phenomenal. Like, that's...
Yeah.
He'll be all right.
But yeah, you were watching Mo.
I was watching Mo, and there was an episode yesterday that I was watching, and it's like, he has... This is really interesting. Mo's girlfriend in the show is the fucking narco queen from Narcos. Like, the badass Latina fucking queen that kills people and is cold-hearted. And she's like this really cool character on Mo, which does, like, it took me a second. I was like, wow, this chick really
good
just changed.
Acting.
Yeah, she changed the whole thing. So his girlfriend is trying to get funds from one of her rich friends who, like, her friend, they went to college together, and her friend married this dude who's, like, big into crypto, and they have, like, a $6 million mansion and all this stuff. And Mo's girl, and he has a private zoo on his mansion. Like, the whole storyline is that these people are, like, filthy rich, right? And, like, yeah. Her friend married into this and, like, now believes that she, like, is owed all this money or whatever. Like she's the one making the money. It's kind of that sort of a thing. Whereas Mo's girlfriend in the show owns an auto body shop. Like, she is working. She's building it from the ground up. She needs more money.
She's an entrepreneur.
She's an entrepreneur. She needs money not to because her business is failing. It's because she wants to open up a second shop, but her father ran up all her credit cards and ruined her credit. So, like, no bank will give her a loan. So she goes, let me go to my friend and let me see. I don't want to beg them for money, but maybe they'll, you know, she goes to them how I think we would have gone to them. She has a fucking business plan. She goes with a pitch deck. She has all the numbers figured out. She goes, this is not a loan. This is you investing in my shit and you get a portion. Like, this is not me begging for money or whatever.
Yeah.
So throughout the whole episode, you see these little, like, they're not even microaggressions. Like, her friend clearly married this, like, dude. He's a white dude. Married this dude who has all this money, which seems like it's kind of, like, made up or whatever, but her friend thinks, like, she made the money, right? That she's making the decisions, and she's always belittling Mo's girlfriend, who's her friend. She's always like, oh, that's cute. You have an auto body shop.
Classic mean girl.
Yeah, classic shit, right?
Rich
and, like,
girl,
during the party that they're having at the house, she's like, can you go check on the tomato fritters for me? Like, while they're talking, all the people are talking, and everyone looks at her like, what the fuck? Like, she's not the help, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that's
yeah.
how she gets treated. At the end of the episode, this bitch's name is Sheila Patel. She's an Indian lady. And the dude is like, Mo, when he's fucking flipping out at her, he's like, you haven't been Indian since 2002 or some shit like that. Like,
shit.
He says some shit. And the white dude turns to her and he's just like, babe, you've always been Indian to me. And, like, it was really fucking funny. But I was also like, dang, they painted this character in of the rich Indian woman who thinks she got the money and, like, is fucking over other immigrants. Like, you know how, like, that sort of stereotype. And I was like, yo, that's not cool. It was just weird. Like, I felt really upset. I was like, man, that's fucked up. Like, that's not cool. But that is life. That is really,
oh my God,
sometimes
so
that
true.
Happens, both with the men and with the women. Like, it happens all across the board. And I was like, guys, this is kind of the thing that you start seeing. Like, don't, when you're not in a position of power or in a position of creativity to counteract that, well, then this stereotype's going to keep going where you have those rich Indian people.
Yeah. Who, right, like, now it's funny, you know?
Yeah,
like, right now it's actually hysterical, but it may continue on for a lot longer.
And the way they approached it was really funny, but I was just like, dang, that's fucked. I was like, I hope
and
that's not.
And she's a Patel. They picked the top of the cream of the crop.
they picked the cream of the
they
crop
were like,
and went,
who's the most money-minded, business-minded Indian? And Sheila on top of that.
Straight up. And then the actress who played her, and the only reason I thought of this is just really strange to me. The actress who played her, I wrote the fucking note here. Her name's Kosar Mohammed. And the only reason I bring this up was because when we had Deepthi for our saltwater production, one of the questions when we were auditioning Deepthi, or when she was, like, sending emails, was that she didn't feel right auditioning for positions that were for Muslim women or for women who are of that persuasion, is the way I always say it. And she's like, you know, they'll tell me to wear a headscarf, or they'll tell me to say a certain thing or whatever. And she's like, I'm not that, and I don't want to take those roles away from people who are that. She asked this question to us just off the cuff. It had nothing to do with the audition. It had nothing to do with anything. She just wanted to know what our opinion was, and I thought that was really nice that she had said all that. So then when I saw this lady's name, I was like, did you take a role from a Patel? Is that what you did?
Because that's what she did.
Is that what you did? I just want to throw that out there. I don't know.
Now, how detailed do we have to get about that stuff?
I know. Like, who knows?
You know what I mean? Like, if the role is for a Patel, or
yo,
if it's for a Muhammad.
She looked it. She looked it. Like, she looked completely. Although right. I thought she was Hispanic the entire time. I had no idea. And then at the end,
I was like, that's actually kind of cool that they did that, because there are brown people who get mistaken for Hispanic all the time, right?
Yeah, all the time.
So it's nice to Mexican. Have that ambiguousness.
Kush in the elevator in Cancun.
But yeah, I'm just like, you know, I'm 100% with taking roles when it's like supposed to be an Indian person and then like they just whitewashed it or something like that or whatever, or like the opposite. But then it's like, I don't know about, it's such a weird gray space about like Muslim versus Hindu.
Bollywood does it all the time. You have like Muslim people playing Hindus and Hindus playing Muslim people.
And we've never
people.
Had a problem with that. And I actually don't seem to have a problem with any of that, where I'm just
I don't have a problem with
it. I don't really.
Here either.
Me neither.
But it can get messy down the line.
Yeah.
So we'll see kind of what happens, because I don't know. For entertainment, I do believe in more merit than like religion swapping.
For sure,
Like if you have a better Muslim actor than like all the Gujaratis that audition or the Hindus that audition, then just go with the person that did the best.
Like, I think it was all of this stuff. Like, oh, I took this role from this person to this person. It's like, we can't be saying that all the time. Like one shade darker or lighter. Like, hey, that was written as I'm one shade, one Revlon shade lighter than that other person. Like, okay.
In this case, it wasn't like the religious thing to me, to be honest. It was kind of like the, you wrote her in as Sheila Patel.
Yeah.
So she's coming from a specific place. You know what I mean? Yeah. But then you chose somebody who at least on its face comes from a whole different place. You know what I mean? So that was all it was. Yeah. I was just like, you did make an effort to do this. So why didn't you go the one step further to just find
Maybe they couldn't find a Patel.
Yeah. Who knows? Yeah. Who knows?
Listen, like if somebody's going to play a mentally challenged person, are you going to hire a mentally challenged person to do the role?
I don't know. Yeah.
That's a fair question. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because there's certain like mental illnesses or you know, retardations. I can use that as an actual term, right?
Just go for it.
I don't know. I have no idea.
No, like mental retardation is still a thing. It's just you can't call people retards, obviously.
Right.
There's a difference.
I've never done that. I don't know what you're talking about.
We live and we learn and we forgive and we forget. Anywho. But yeah, you're not going to hire somebody who is a nonverbal, unless that's the role you're going for. And somehow that can work, right?
If you do, though, you're going to win an Oscar real fast. Let me tell you. Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure there are like autistic, there are autistic actors and stuff, but it depends. It depends on where you are in the spectrum. It depends on what kind of illness you have or challenge you have. Like, are you still able to act and are you an actor? Like, it's not like they're going to have somebody against their will who's literally cannot speak and cannot communicate. Like, you are now acting in this film because this fits the role. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's good to have the conversations. It was really interesting. I watched the whole episode.
we're doing that right now, by the way, just in case you guys are unaware. It's really important to have the conversation.
Rhea, we have to have open dialogue. That's the only way we can work through our issues in society is to have a safe space for open dialogue.
This like little podcast right here is your safe space.
I
by
have
the way.
An open safe space, but I don't let people see it.
Except for
your
two
butthole
queens.
Is not a safe space.
Boom, boom. You guys got it. Boom. So, speaking of buttholes, there was a new CEO appointed of Starbucks, and these are like all the little pop culture tidbits, so like we can just like quickly breeze through them, or we can talk about them, whatever you guys want to do. But there was a new CEO of Starbucks appointed, and everyone went gaga over it a few weeks ago. His name's Lakshman Narasimhan. There were many TikToks and many Instagrams I saw where they said in his first meeting he's going to change the chai tea latte to just chai.
I was like, this is getting so tired.
After about the 9,000th one, I was like, please stop. But
jeez, no, but I don't care.
I get it. But like, just come up with new content. This like regurgitation of old content stuff.
It's not just that. It's just he's brown, big whoop. Let's see what he did. How about before you go championing this shit, you go and see, does he have any skeletons in his closet before you go all, hey, we got a brown person who's the new CEO. Like, no, no fam, maybe you should look up some shit first. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
And that is specifically why we're here, because I did look up some shit. And okay, so
go for it.
So in case anybody wanted to know, and it's nothing crazy. It's nothing crazy. He's from Pune. He was raised in Pune, India. He got a mechanical engineering degree in Pune. Then he got a master's in German and international studies from UPenn, which I thought was very strange.
Dope.
And then he got an MBA in finance from Wharton. So that made more sense. I was like, oh, you got an MBA from Wharton, right? It was the German and international studies master that I was like, what?
Whoa, that's
what
really random.
What was that for?
Well, no, he's a business guy. He needs to know other languages and other cultures and stuff.
And then that touches upon, he speaks six languages, apparently. I didn't know that. He's a very learned man. I'd always love to know if they are six truly different languages or if it's like he speaks Gujarati, Gamaryu Gujarati, Hindi,
Surti
Gujarati. Like, which one is it? He has two children. He lives in Greenwich, Connecticut, and he came up under the Pepsi CEO, that lady whose name I'm completely blanking right now. But
we've talked about her.
Yeah, we've talked about her before. And that's the only thing that causes me just a little bit of concern, because we discussed what she had said during her book run about not asking for raises and not asking for things. couple, you know, maybe 50 episodes back. I don't know. So the fact that he comes from that school of thinking, and Starbucks is heavily in the news right now because they're trying to unionize all over the place. And I wonder if he's going to come in and try to stamp that shit out. I just wonder. I don't know. He's a McKinsey guy, which is like, you know, there's a stereotype for that type of shit.
On another note, relating to Starbucks, though, amongst all those TikToks is one that I saw that I thought was interesting, of a guy who works at Starbucks who actually makes Indian masala chai.
I saw that one. Yeah, that one was cool.
And I thought that was really nice. And people were like, a lot of white people were like, wait, hold up. How the fuck do I try this? And he was like, if you just come to my store and ask me, I will make it for you.
Yeah. And then he got fired. No, I'm kidding.
Oh my God, I was like, shit.
And then Lakshman fired his ass and said, stop doing that on company time.
Lakshman was like,
that's the trajectory of this guy's career.
Oh no.
The only other interesting tidbit, which I think is, this is like not anything surprising to anybody who follows any of this stuff, because this happens in the CEO circle all over the world, especially here in America. This guy was at McKinsey for about 19 years. He joined Pepsi in 2012 and rose to the chief commercial officer position. He then succeeded this guy named Rakesh Kapoor as CEO of Reckitt Benckiser, which is, if I recall correctly, it's like a Dutch conglomerate, and they're the ones who make Airwix. They're the ones who make Airborne. They make a lot of pharmaceutical products. Like, they're definitely really fucking rich. He joined the company to succeed this guy because this guy, Rakesh, had failed to rejuvenate the company and had taken a series of missteps, lackluster growth, all this sort of stuff.
Shit.
So they brought in Lakshman to fix all this. And then, less than 3 years later, they let him go. And he cited personal and family reasons. And now he's the CEO of Pepsi. CEO of Starbucks. CEO of Starbucks. I'm sorry. And this is constantly what happens. Like, these CEOs don't necessarily actually fix anything, any of the places they're at. And then they just go to another role. That's funny.
Yeah.
That's
sometimes they're scapegoats.
Yeah.
It's almost like they're presidents, right? Like, they come in, they say that it takes almost 2 years to even make any sort of change and growth. And then they work for like another sort of do stuff for another 2 years. And then they're like, oh, everything that we've built will finally be fixed by the next president. So here you go. And then they move on.
That's the very, very smart of you, Riyadh.
Yeah.
I like that. Very good. Very good.
Good job.
It's like the time when you played the brownie points game and I got all the stakes. You got it right.
Yeah. The real test is going to be, once he leaves, are they going to change the chai back to a chai tea?
That's the real test. That's the real fucking test. They'll be like, finally, we got this jerk out of here. So then also, speaking of leaving, wow, I'm on fucking fire today. India and China, we had discussed for a few episodes that the tensions were really building on the India-China border. Remember when they were fist fighting and people fell off the mountains?
And throwing rocks
and stuff, throwing rocks at each other. Rhea's good. Yeah. Good.
Sorry. That's not funny.
Yeah, Rhea, it was funny when they all died, right? Like, that was so funny. So that was so hilarious.
So they've been...
Sorry.
There's been a lot of disputes over there between the border areas, and it's been like ratcheting up. And we were just like, don't they talk? Like, don't they fucking talk to each other? What's going on? They're apparently all disengaging from that disputed area. Apparently they
ran out of rocks.
The tensions are going down. Somebody had Hakka noodles, and they all realized that we're better off together than we are apart.
And that's Szechuan garlic noodles. Oh,
Szechuan garlic noodles. So I think most people forgot that was even happening. That's really dangerous. You know what I mean? India has nuclear capabilities. China has nuclear capabilities. Like, it's bad.
I don't understand. We can bring our foods together by creating Indo-Chinese, but we as people can't get along.
Seriously, and they look like each other up there. They you literally can't tell them apart, and they want to fight with each other.
Yeah.
That's how Nepalese people came about, right?
Yeah. And there's actually...
how they came about. They're not fucking orcs, bro. They weren't engineered somewhere.
Oh, they're not a mutation of Indian people and Chinese people fucking for centuries?
There's Chinese people in Kolkata. Like, they're not, like, Nepalese. They're, like, Chinese people who have generations of ancestors who are born and raised in India. So they look
pretty dope.
Exactly. Like, they don't even look... They might be a little bit tan, but they speak Chinese and they speak Bengali.
That's pretty dope. I love that. That's pretty rare. Yeah. And speaking of changing from one thing to another or not, this is really quick. A.R. Rahman got a street named after him in Canada. And do you like that segue? That's a pretty good segue, I think.
Like
that. That's really like under the radar kind of segue there.
Good job.
The only thing
job.
I'm curious about is that, like, from the pictures, I couldn't tell where this street is. And I also couldn't tell from the sign if it is a street. It just said A.R. Rahman on a street sign. It didn't say street, boulevard, avenue, anything.
I mean, I don't know how things work in over there.
Like,
in
where do
Ontario,
they put it? Where does it go?
Canada. That's a good question, but
it's pretty dope, though. Pretty cool.
It's good publicity, I guess. Sure. Like, I just hope it's not like a Martin Luther King streets where like there's always crime around those streets.
Yeah. Right.
Do you think that everyone on A.R. Rahman streets is gonna be going J-Ho like all the time? Yeah.
It's gonna be a constant Bollywood musical.
How many halal shops do you think are gonna open on A.R. Rahman Street? Just how
big is the street? That's what I mean.
All I know is that I was hyped because if Big L has a street named after him, then our Big A needs to also get one, and he got one, so that's fine.
Who's Big L?
What?
Don't worry about it.
It's fine. It's not anyone. It's fine. Don't worry.
Okay. It's just Ebonics. Don't worry about it.
He's only maybe one of the top five rappers ever, but we're not starting that conversation here.
Sorry, yeah, dead or alive.
Whoops. Speaking of top five rappers, dead or alive. So Modi's birthday was last weekend, September 17th, I think.
I hate that my birthday is a day before his.
Oh my God.
Did we wish you happy birthday?
No, you did not.
There we go.
We did it?
There we go.
No,
I
you
don't
did not.
Think we did because we are fucking the worst and it's going to happen right here on
I
this
wanted
podcast.
To end the episode with that, but it's out now, baby.
Wait. Oh my God. Are you serious?
I don't know.
Oh my God, it's in my
birthday.
Phone. It says Kush birthday.
It does not say that in mine.
God. It literally says it on my phone.
Taking care of your mother was more important than wishing me a happy birthday?
Yo, happy birthday, my guy. We're pausing the episode right now. Happy birthday, bro.
Terrible human beings.
Indeed we are. I don't remember anyone's birthday, but that's not an excuse. That's not an excuse.
Me and Beyonce and Amy Poehler are Virgos. And obviously so is fucking Modi.
I don't even know where to go with that. I literally
am I the
just
next
blanked.
Modi?
Huh? Yo. Hey.
Am I the next Modi?
You could be. Are you going to be celibate and live in a fucking mountain?
Well, I'm involuntarily celibate, so...
Yo, so anyways, we're gonna have a lot of making up to do after the podcast episode. But
it doesn't mean anything
I'm feeling really shitty right now.
I know Rhea is.
Literally looking at my calendar. It says, you know, it's like one of those things where it's like, oh, I know it's your birthday this day, and I don't know what day it is when it comes around, but that's still not an excuse because it's on my phone.
To be fair, last year I forgot on my birthday that it was my birthday because I didn't know what day it was.
Yeah, it's the not knowing the day, but man, I mean, yes, my mom was here. I'm sure I was doing something with her, but still, like, that's not okay.
Yeah, we're shit. We're horrible. We're gonna
the next
episode 134 is gonna be so it's just me and Rhea now. So I'll continue on and then we'll have a very long conversation after this podcast is over. So September 17th was Modi's birthday.
Kunal's trying to hide his pain right now.
Yeah. And
you guys remembered Modi's birthday, but you didn't remember mine.
Wow. Damn, that's a big one. That's a big fucking one, bro.
How dare you?
Honestly, Modi, I didn't realize had a birthday. I think he's really taken on this.
I know. Who's thinking about his
birthday?
Right?
Like, he's taken on this role where I'm like, he doesn't have a birthday. That's not real. But he does. It's September 17th. It was last weekend. Obviously, you know, there were people celebrating him because, great, it's his birthday. That's fine. Celebrate, whatever. He released, I think he marked it by releasing some cheetahs into a national park in India. these are cheetahs that were formerly very endangered. And he got some. They transported them from Africa and they put them in a national park in India. The sad part
he's stealing shit from Africans? Wait,
what's going on?
This is like a part of a program they have, but apparently like this conservationist, somebody I forget. This is so far back when I read it, but like somebody who I think either works at the park or is a conservationist, like somebody who knows their shit, was like, this doesn't matter because the national park is like 8 miles big and cheetahs need fucking hundreds of miles. So this is really stupid that they're doing
this. They're going to run the 8 miles in like 0.2 seconds.
Yeah. It might not be 8 miles, but like the person was just like, dude, this doesn't, like, I applaud that they're trying to do this, but no one thought about it. Like, it doesn't make any sense. So, but he did, he talked about it in his speech, I think, in Modi's speech that he does every Sunday or Saturday or something, his Bharat Ka Mann speech that he gives every...
He does the Kanye Sunday service?
Every week, dude, every week, like, without fail. And so he talked insane. About the cheetahs, apparently, so there's that.
Wait, are you sure he didn't release the Cheetah Girls?
is Raven Simone part of that?
She is,
right? Yeah,
I think so.
Were they the ones who had that song where they were like, I've been thinking about it, the chick with the list,
broken promises?
Oh no, that's 3LW,
but wasn't it Cheetah Girls were in 3LW, like parts broke off?
Yes, there are people in both. Yes,
they, yeah.
Okay. Wonderful. There we go. Okay. So
Cheetah Girls was the Disney show based on them, I think.
Okay. Oh. But there were more girls in the Cheetah Girls, right? Than the three girls.
Modi would have nothing to do with them. He doesn't like women. So that's just
for all
that
you
is.
Cheetah Girl fans out there. I am so sorry. I fucked that all up.
Okay. So moving on from that, speaking of Cheetah Girls, so there's a guy who's now the second richest person in the world above Jeff Bezos. He's Indian. He's the richest man in India. He looks like my dad, like straight up looks like my dad. His name's Gautam Adani. And we always hear about Mukesh Ambani. We always hear about the Ambanis. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize they're not the richest people in India. This dude is the richest man in Asia.
I think Ambani has been.
Maybe, but Ambani's lower on the list.
Maybe this guy just upped them because I think Ambanis were, for sure.
I have no idea, but I was just like, wow, we hear so much about the Ambanis and their weddings and like all this shit, and I haven't heard a thing about Gautam Adani.
Like, yeah, me neither.
I haven't really heard about him, but he's now the second richest person in the world. To give you an idea of how much money that means, it means he has over $152 billion.
Oh, my God.
I don't know if that's not in cash, certainly, because that's more like in assets or whatever. But $152 billion, because Jeff Bezos reportedly has between $147 and $152
billion. Wow, man.
Suck on that nut, Bezos, though. That's an Indian dick in your mouth, Bezos. Oh. I do want to say that. Now, some interesting things about Gautam Adani. He is Gujarati Jain. So shout out to nice. Gujaratis. Shout out to Jains, because that just seems like it feels like there's a lot of food you're missing out on. Really.
Yeah, that feels like a lot of work.
It feels like a lot of work. He's one of seven. He's one of seven siblings. I hope they're all fucking rich now at this point.
Yeah, they should be.
What if fend for yourself, my 152?
Yo, you know, sometimes these rich people, they get on these really weird high horses where they're just like,
I made it myself. You make it yourself too.
Succession.
Like,
yeah, Succession. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. But the very interesting things about him were he was kidnapped previously and they didn't pay the fucking ransom and he was returned.
What?
I don't know.
Wait.
I don't negotiate
what?
With terrorists.
So this man, Gautam Adani, does not negotiate with fucking terrorists. They returned him. They stole the richest man who I'm sure at that time had some billies still. And they just returned his ass. No ransom paid.
What do you think that family dinner was like once he returned?
Yo.
Hey, guys, listen. I am the breadwinner of this family, but somehow nobody thought to pay for
nobody
my
nobody wanted to pay. You know what? I'm more curious about him and his kidnappers. Was he like, I can't eat that. I'm Jane. Like, I can't. What are you giving me? I'm Jane. I can't do that.
Guys, you set up your camp on grass. I don't think that's a good idea.
I can't sit here. I can't do this. But like,
I cannot get behind standing on grass. Please.
If I had more time, and I'll probably do this for the next episode. Like, I do want to. I want to figure out how he got returned with no ransom paid. Because
I need
that's
the
phenomenal.
Details of that story.
He's also a hefty looking man. So like, how'd they manage all this? But also back when the Taj hotels had the shootings in them. Or whatever. Mm-hmm. Remember there was like some fucking hotels that had shootings in them, like high-end hotels in India that had shootings. They made a Dev Patel movie about this.
I thought it was bombs. I didn't know it was shootings. Wasn't it bombs?
Might be a bit of both. I don't know. He was in the fucking lobby for one of them. So,
gotcha.
This guy is an international man of danger, is all I know. He's my Gujarati James Bond. That's what I think he is. So
you think he's just like tumbling down to... Dun, 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 dun,
yeah, yo, he's surviving everything they throw at him, and he's the second richest man in the world. You know. Oh, also this
it's just unkillable.
You know who the richest man in the world is?
Who?
Elon motherfucking Musk.
Ugh.
Oh yeah.
I was hoping it wasn't him, but just to give you an idea, it's Elon, then Gautam, and then Jeff. Elon, Gautam.
Yeah, it's only
Jeff.
By a few billion, though. You know.
Yeah.
No biggie.
I believe in Indian. Indian entrepreneurship and Indian dedication. I think this guy will take over because number two, his parents probably shit on him all day. Like, you're only number two? Get the fuck out of my face.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? Speaking of going number two, wow, this wasn't even the segue I was thinking of. I was thinking more of saying this guy is my Indian James Bond, but he fucking isn't. But Nav's album released recently and it went to number two on the charts. I hate to admit it. It's probably garbage, but it's number two on the charts.
Has he gotten a haircut yet? That's
no,
all
he
I
hasn't.
About.
He looks exactly the same.
He
looks,
so he put
he's
the
starting
bowl
to look more
head.
Like DJ Khaled because he's.
Yes.
I think he gained weight last I saw him.
He does look like he gained weight. His entire album cover is an artistic rendering of him. So I think maybe he doesn't want to be seen like an uncle anymore. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, he's an introvert, so I get that.
Yes.
Good. I don't fucking know.
Yo, all I know
fuck
is
cares
whatever
about Nav.
Yeah, no one cares. Like, how did he go number two? There must have just been. I need to see what else released around that time because it must have been like a Sesame Street album, a fucking you know, music from the movie, no, music from Succession album, and then Nav, and so he went number two.
I feel like people listened to him sarcastically, and then they just ended up because it was so funny. They're just constantly listening to him now.
Yeah.
Or maybe they listen to the album just to see how bad it actually is. Because people do that too.
Yeah.
Do you think there's a chance he makes bops?
I think he's a decent producer.
Yeah.
So maybe people just listen for his beats.
Because he has like, a lot of guest features on his albums. Like he gets a lot of people that are listened to, which is probably what does it.
Yeah. He's like a DJ Khaled, kind of.
Yeah,
but interesting. He actually does the producing.
It's a life imitating art, imitating life. It's weird.
You know, if for as much as like he's number two, his album went number two. Like aside from us and like a handful of brown accounts and stuff on Instagram, I don't actually ever come across as like Nav's music or people talking about him. Like I don't see his face anywhere. I mean, he never shows up. Like I see. All other like popular musicians show up on my Explore page. Like I just don't see or hear anything about this guy except for like the random times where it's like, oh yeah, who is Nav? And
they're
like,
making fun of him. Yeah, when they're making fun of him.
Yeah,
yeah. I didn't see
for
much
his
news,
album to
be,
number
honest.
Two, and me not having heard about a single thing is kind of interesting to me.
Yeah, I haven't heard a single song off that album.
Nav somehow has been more consistent than Tesher. Since Tesher came out.
I believe that. If I'm going to pick Team Tesher or Team Nav, I'm going to pick Team Nav, and I don't even know.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to go Nav.
Honestly,
yeah, I'm going
to
go Nav.
Just out of pure output, I would have to pick Team Nav as well.
Yeah.
For sure, for sure. The clock is ticking on Tesher. You know who the clock is not fucking ticking on? Oh, I'm sorry, Rhea.
No, you know what? It's actually
Damn.
Not important.
Go ahead. It was a really good segue. Okay. The clock is not ticking on my fucking boy. Excuse me, I just burped on the mic. My fucking boy, Adnan Syed. He's free. Adnan is free.
Quick question.
And he's jacked.
Oh, is he? Yeah, he's huge. Yeah. He's big. He spent 21 years in prison.
He's prison jacked.
Yeah.
Oh, my
yeah.
God. Yeah, go ahead. Does he still have to go to retrial?
No, so they have 30 days. So the judge vacated the murder conviction at the prosecutor's request, which is fucking wild. Prosecutors don't really ever do shit like that because it reflects poorly on them. They're the ones who bring the case. So if they're the ones saying, hey, we should vacate this shit, that means something fucked up real bad. And so they fail. What happened is they failed to turn over evidence that could have helped the defense, which is shitty. For 21 years, this man sat in prison. We don't know. He might have done it, right? He might have still done it, but there was enough evidence that he might not have, that
he should have been free.
That he should have been free. Because of the, yeah. And they didn't
and
give over.
And he was tried as an adult at 17.
Yeah, and they didn't give over evidence that they had. And so the judge gave the prosecution 30 days to either ask for a new trial, which would be based on like evidence or whatever, or drop the case. So it's cool. It's dope because he's out, but it sucks because it's just like he may have 30 days of freedom or he may not. You never know.
So we don't actually know?
No, he's out, but like we don't know. You'll know when the 30 days run. If they file something or if the 30 days run and nothing got filed, then he's out. He's good. They dropped the case.
Oh my God. That's so nerve-wracking.
Yeah, imagine that.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
I think he did it.
Yeah. I like that so much. That was so good. I like that so much.
I actually didn't listen to Serial or
it's good. I think
like,
you
watch
really
any of those
like
documentaries.
I tried to.
I don't give a fuck
a while,
about
like,
murder porn.
I couldn't really.
Like I don't like murder documentaries. I don't give a shit.
That's what I love.
I mean, it's good. It's good to know, like in terms of like how the justice system works
or doesn't work.
More
right?
importantly, when it doesn't work.
Yeah.
So it's important to know those stories, but I don't give a shit about the details. If he's innocent, he's innocent. If he's not, he's not.
Hey,
Kush is real black and white. I ever listened to.
Yeah, this is one that Rhea really listened to. I remember trying to listen to it, and like I got a few episodes. I just couldn't. I couldn't super stick
That's
with it.
So
there was a lot.
Interesting because Kunal, you read books that after like it'll be like a 1,000-page book. First of all, the fact that he attempts it. And then he'll get to like page 400, and I'm like, "What's it about?" He was like, "We're still getting there," and I was like, "What?"
That's how books are written, Rhea. That's how this generally happens.
Yeah, but you couldn't get through a podcast.
I don't know. Yeah, I think maybe like
that's why I'm shocked. Like,
point.
Homie couldn't get into a murder doc podcast where like it was
I think
really
I have to read about it. I don't know.
Yeah, you got to read 1,000 pages about it, don't you? You're a dad. You're a freaking dad.
I kind of get that though because when you're reading,
you're a dad
your
too.
Focus is, your focus is on like your visual focus is on the words. When you're listening to a podcast, I tend to like phase out completely because I'm like trying to do other shit. Mm. Like it feels weird to me that I'm sitting in a chair just listening to a podcast.
Yeah,
like I feel uncomfortable. Like I need to be doing something yeah, if that. I'm just sitting in a chair listening to something.
To be frank, I think I listened to it on train rides home from work, so that made sense.
Yeah,
that may be the first time Rhea's ever said "to be frank." I really like that. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
You look like a Frank.
A hot dog, that is. I
nice
do think
bratwurst.
I do think though that the story that I posted on Instagram about Adnan Syed, I really patted myself on the shoulder for what I said, which is that Adnan Syed is free.
Back?
Adnan Sami.
Back.
On my shoulder? Don't you pat your shoulder? Isn't that what it is? What did
pat,
I say?
Saying is pat myself on the back.
Oh, I pat myself on the back. Okay, I specifically chose to pat myself on the shoulder.
Just because you can't reach your back, don't just say shoulder.
I said Adnan Syed is free, Adnan Sami is skinny, and Anan is tasty. And I really think that that's going to go down in history as a really good
what was the
fucking
last part
story.
Of it?
The last one was Anan is tasty.
Anon. Okay, okay.
Yeah,
Anon,
you get
yeah.
it? I liked
Anon
it.
Anon is tasty.
Yeah. I liked it, I like and I just wanted to shout out myself for writing that. Yeah. That's all.
He did
all
say that completely randomly in person. Like, he said it out loud, and he was like, oh, I'm going to write this down.
And it's more for me so that in a year's time, I'll remember I wrote it. That's really what stories are for me.
Yeah.
They're memories.
You kept saying things like, how I'm getting ready for my stand-up routine. It really feels like you're preparing a stand-up routine.
Yeah, we're going to have opposing stand-up routines.
I know. Are you trying to tell me something? Oh, yo, shit. I'm down to compete. I'm a very competitive
but
person.
But I
Let's
think that
go.
If I joined, I would murder both of you.
Okay, please don't join because that I won't be able to win. Please don't join.
I would
Every
just
so
walk
often
on
I think
stage.
About it, but I'm like,
I would just walk on stage and people would be like, oh, wow, it's a little polar bear. And then they would laugh. That's it.
Would you walk like that?
Yeah, I think so. Like a penguin. Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
A penguin.
Nice.
Penguin.
Penguin.
Every so often, I try to think about jokes, but no. I'm no bueno. I don't think I'd be able to do
I think
that.
Kunal
if I
look
in your little black
pants.
Book.
Yeah,
yeah,
I mean,
it
that
would
be part of
butts
it. It would be part poop. Of it. Yeah, exactly. It'd be about pooping, all that sort of stuff. Which, speaking of, a lot of these people have been, there's been a lot of poop in the news recently, about six especially. It's really strange. I don't know what's going on within that community or just within the reporting on that community, but I've been seeing a whole lot. One that Kush brought to us. I think this started a couple weeks ago where there was like a video of a Taco Bell customer who went on a really like super anti-Hindu tirade against somebody
yeah,
else.
Remember I told you I didn't watch it, but reading the transcript for it was really funny.
Yeah, the transcript, Kush literally sent it to me and was like, I didn't read it. I mean, I didn't watch it, but I read the transcript. So I was like, all right, I'm going to do the same thing because I tend to not like watching these things either. And it just like, it was weird. And by the end, it was a fucking Sikh dude who was going off on another, I guess, Indian customer in the Taco Bell.
Oh, no.
And
in a Taco Bell, which is the most brown thing to have happen.
And it was really strange. He got arrested, but he was, really, he was saying all sorts of slurs. He was, going straight anti-Hindu. And I was like, what is going on? And then the thing that we reported on maybe two episodes or an episode back, the Gandhi statue in Queens that was destroyed for the second time, where we were like, why don't you get fucking cameras? The last thing that I thought would ever happen is what happened. A Sikh guy and six other people that they're looking for, who are also, I think, Sikh, have been charged. He's been charged with a hate crime and destroying the Gandhi statue at that Queens temple.
It's generational trauma, man.
Bro, I guess they
all the trauma
think
Gandhi
did
something
to them. You know, I don't understand what's going on. But the funniest thing in this article about this guy was that they somehow were able to find him on some other camera jumping into the escape vehicle, which was a C300 Mercedes Benz. And I was
of
course
Punjabi
it was.
Thing. Oh my God. That's the most Punjabi thing ever.
He was probably blasting AP Dylan or some shit in the car and then just fucking drove off.
He was driving like this.
Yeah, way back.
Leaned
the fuck back.
Arms all the way to the
back. I don't know what's happening with that community. And then another video that Kush sent us yesterday, which maybe the algo is just shooting you videos of Sikh people, Kush. But
maybe
there was a Sikh student who was wearing his kirpan on
in North Carolina
on campus. And he got it removed from him and I think was arrested. No, he wasn't arrested because that was actually I think he was detained.
He was detained.
Detained, but not arrested while the cops kind of investigated what is this. And they removed it from him and he got in trouble, I assume, and stuff. And
he was telling the cop in the video, he was telling the cop, do you want me to remove it? I'll remove it for you. And then he tried to remove it, but the cop was just like, no, no, no. And then he stood him up.
Okay.
He put him in cuffs. Uh-huh. And he told him that I'm going to be detaining you right now.
Got it. Okay. It seemed like a pretty reasonable sort of thing, in terms of the interaction seemed reasonable.
Yeah, the cop wasn't aggressive. He was just he was unsure about what was this weapon that you have strapped around you.
Right. And you were right though, because Kush was like, look at the comments, because it's it's all over the place. There's people in one direction and then there's people in the other, and it was
it's a Sikh
really interesting
subreddit. So most of the members are Sikh, but they're kind of split on how the cop handled it.
Yeah.
Like half the community was like, well, no, it's a weapon. Like, yeah, it's a ceremonial, religious thing that he has to wear. But it's not like he went to the to the campus authorities and just gave them a heads up, like, listen, like, this is my... I mean, he shouldn't... Yeah. Part of the community was like, he shouldn't have to do all that. Mm-hmm. Part of him was just like, well, no, it's still a weapon. Like, it could still hurt somebody. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just like... It's a hard situation to kind of gauge.
I'm happy that the situation itself was kind of like reasonable, you know, like it could have gotten far worse from all the stuff we've seen. But yeah, I did kind of feel like I sided with the idea that, like, I know it's a religious thing. I know that, like, for like the baptized Sikhs, like, this is a very important thing. You're not allowed to take it off. I think you even like have to shower with it and all sorts of stuff.
What do they do on flights?
And I think you have to let somebody know. They can't go through TSA, you know, like, you'd have to let somebody know. From what I understand, it's a blunted knife. Like, it's mostly traditional nowadays. So it's not like they need to carry around a sharp ass knife. So it's blunted. That being said, like, I still don't think it's that hard to just like tell somebody.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think that's reasonable. I think that's pretty reasonable to do that, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
So I'm just, I don't know. I mean, reasonable minds will differ on that, but that was really interesting.
And then people were trying to argue like federal laws not being allowed to mess with like religious stuff. But this is an educational like institute. Like, they can have their own rules.
Yeah. People were talking about like First Amendment and federal laws, Second Amendment and stuff. And I was like, what are you guys talking
about? It was so
crazy. Like,
it was weird. Yeah.
It was very strange, but they've been getting a lot of video time. Recently.
Yeah. But basically the people that were upset about it were trying to make the point that he was targeted because he was brown or whatever, and it just looked like maybe because he's brown he looked like more of a threat than like maybe a white person would. But I would feel uncomfortable if like a white British dude was walking around with one of those ceremonial sabers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't want him, even though it's blunted, I wouldn't want him walking around with it.
Sure, yeah. Or if a Japanese person was walking around with their sword.
Yeah. And I think somebody reported it. That's how it all started. Like, some onlooker reported it, which I can't blame them for. Because, like Chris just said, if I saw somebody doing
like
that
an,
who was white,
like
I'd
knife,
be like, what? Like, what's going on? So, interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting conversations to have in safe spaces.
Dialogue.
So they've been getting a lot of stuff recently. I'm just going to run through some of this other shit because we've gone pretty... I mean, but... It's okay. We can continue going.
Yeah.
The interesting... So ISRO, as a final kind of like pop culture piece that I saw really quickly, was apparently the ISRO chief, who we love ISRO. We love everything they do, everything they're about. There's like such good people over there.
Kush has his hands on his face right now, just in case you want a visual.
I saw this headline that said, "The world is seeing India as an inspirational place in the space sector." That is a direct quote from the ISRO chief. Kush got the fuck up and left. Kush got up.
I miss these left. That happen in person. So hopefully, when Kush is finally with us, we can see this happen in person again. I was saying, Kush,
I give up.
I miss your wild ass reactions in person. So when we finally get together in person again, like, I can't wait for all the getting up and getting the fuck out moments.
I just running around.
I just couldn't. Like, I had to click on this. I was like, what the fuck are you talking about, man? Because we are constantly reporting on these guys and how they just can't get shit right. And so he said the world's looking at India as an inspirational place with what the country has achieved in the space sector in the last 60 years. And I was like, I know at least in the last 2 years you've destroyed things. So I'm not sure.
Modi is personally funding this guy.
Yo, like, what the fuck is happening?
What's the logic behind it? I want to, instead of like...
And the article mostly talks about satellites and rockets.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's not even like they mentioned like their... aspirations to land on the moon with their rovers and stuff like that, and how often they fuck that up. And
but shouldn't that be a part of it?
He had this. It should. It absolutely should. That's why this was so weird. But he had this really funny quote to me, which was like, he said, "We have 50 plus satellites of our own currently operating, and at least three of the rockets are ready to fly at any time from our own soil."
Rhea, is this the article your dad read?
Yeah, probably. This is the type of information that he's getting that actually makes him believe that it's not that they're not advancing. Like, I'm not going to give them, like, take away all their credit. Like, yes, India has advanced in the technological aspect, obviously, over the last, like, 10 years, but we're not there yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, India, listen, you get your flowers. Yeah. Okay. You just don't get a fucking bouquet. Yet,
yeah, exactly, okay? Bro. Yeah, like,
and your flowers and your flowers generally fall out of the atmosphere burnt as fuck and inoperationable. So like inoperational. Like I don't know. So it was weird, but that's the whole article. He just came out, said something, yeah, and somebody reported on his quote saying that we've done a lot and people want to work with us.
Well, again,
this
like...
This is probably the least impactful fake news I've ever seen.
Well, we've kind of realized, like, someone just says something, they say whatever they want, and then someone just, like, literally copies and pastes what they said. That's it.
Yeah.
There's no fact-checking. The person saying it is not, like, actually... It's like my dad just saying random things.
Yeah.
The whole government is my dad.
Actually, I really do think that's a big problem over there. I really do think that it is because there are a lot of uncles and they kind of run it as they run the world and how they appear to the world as uncles. They're kind of like they strong arm shit and they're just like, just do it. Just do it. Just do it.
I mean, luckily Rhea wants all old men to die. So I think
I thought I escaped the that branding. I thought I finally recovered from that.
Nope.
I did say old white men. Yeah.
You did say old white men.
White.
And it was just, you know, just an interesting, it was just an interesting sort of quote from you. But speaking of being able to, you know, not run away from things. Now we'll get into the news portion, which maybe, you know, maybe this will lead to some healthy safe space discussion or maybe it won't. But there was
that not all news?
No, that was all pop culture stuff, which I still don't figure. I can't figure out how we make it quicker, but I don't necessarily think we need to at the expense of losing the organicness. You know what I mean? So like this Indian professor, I'll just try and distill this down. This article was from like the beginning of September, and it was written in the Washington Post that an Indian professor posted a swimsuit photo and then her life fell apart. Basically, this Indian lady posted a photo of herself wearing a bikini on her private Instagram account. You should never do that. Private account, though. The photo was taken in her bedroom as one of a number of self-portraits in clothes she felt she would be harassed and shamed for wearing in public. And she was right, because the images were found by a student at St. Xavier's University in Kolkata, where she teaches, where she'd recently taken a job as a professor of English. They don't know how the student gained access to the photos, but the student's father complained to the school and called those photos sexually explicit. The father, the dickless male, complained to the school to say these were sexually explicit. Then the administrators brought her in for a meeting. The photos were passed around in that meeting.
Oh my God.
And she was
that's
so fucking wild to me. And then she was compelled to resign. According to a legal notice she later sent to the university.
Yo, fuck that kid for fucking up so badly that his father found those photos.
Yep.
That's insane.
And him looking at those
photos. Fuck that kid. Fuck that dad. Fuck that school.
Fuck that dad.
Yeah, right.
Fuck that school.
And you said she posted it specifically as a part of like a series where she literally said that this would be stuff
she said that it would be stuff that she'd be harassed for. So she posted it privately, like on her private, you know, whatever, private Instagram. She's 31. This was like her teaching career was just getting off the ground. She had just rented an apartment for the first time because she's making money. And then she had to move back in with her parents.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
And I'm sure like, you know, people looked at that poorly, you know? And I think this is the article was talking about how this is a thing pretty believable that happens all over India. Like women are held to a different standard.
For sure.
In India, especially in the workplace.
But yeah, it's just also, it's crazy because it happens here too.
Yeah, definitely.
Because this story reminded me of this woman who's a therapist or psychologist or something. It's a black woman. And she posted on Instagram basically a picture of her booty. And she's like in like really like basically in a bikini and she's like showing her ass in the photo. And she got fired from her job, like from her job, because they're just like, you represent us like as a company. And I get that. Like, you don't want, if you want to have a certain image, then yeah, you deal with your business the way you want to deal with your business.
Sure.
But then like she was complaining that it's like racist and sexism and blah, blah, blah. But there's like a point where I know people want to be rebellious and fight the attitude that certain corporations have, but if these are like businesses and institutions, like, just be careful what you put out on social media.
Totally.
Like, it's just common sense also. Like, yes, for this particular example, the school handled it so goddamn poorly. Yeah. Like, that is embarrassing to pass around photos or whatever. That was completely unprofessional. It's completely shitty to do that to a woman. And it's like you're exposing somebody's body for what, just rules and regulations. It could have been done internally. It could have been
done
one-on-one.
And it was private, right? Like, the Instagram was private?
Yeah, it was private, but I mean, it still comes out, right? Like, even if you have a private Instagram, like, just be careful what you put out there.
Yeah.
And it's happening to more and more women because they're putting scandalous photos on the internet. They're doing OnlyFans kind of stuff. It's just like, be careful. Like, the world is not going to see the workplace the same way you do. It still has time for those changes to be implemented.
And I agree with that, too. You shouldn't. Yeah, there's a line there, you know, like the way
you got to play the game. Yeah, basically, sucks that you have to play the game, but ease into it. Like, if you want to keep your job, and if you lose your job because of it, because of a choice you made, like, be rebellious, like, own up to that shit and just move on.
Yeah, I think definitely, like, there's degrees to it. I think it definitely depends on the type of company you work for. I don't think a strip club gives a shit what you post on your Instagram.
Exactly.
but a school
might. Most entertainment companies don't really care that you're showing off your body. Yeah. But it's like these institutions, these educational
institutions. Yeah, like educational ones, maybe not. Yeah. But I do think, like you said, they should totally handle it better. They should really handle it better.
Yeah, this was fucked up.
This is fucked.
Like, I feel so bad for her.
Yeah. Because it's a bunch of, like, I'm pretty sure, and I think it says in the article, I just don't remember, but I'm pretty sure, like, the men who were on that, I don't think there were actually women in that meeting that she had with them, and they were all older. They were not, like, 31-year-olds like her. They were older men who were doing this, and that's just wild. But as I found the article, a direct quote from the father was to the guy who complained, "To look at a teacher dressed in her undergarments uploading pictures on social media is utterly shameful for me as a parent, since I have tried to shield my son from this kind of gross indecency and objectification of the female body."
How can she objectify her own
herself?
Body?
I was like, wait, what? Yeah. That doesn't make any sense.
She posted that for empowerment. It's not like some dude posted it of her without her permission. She posted it herself.
Yeah, I don't really understand.
They objectified her body by passing around photos at a fucking meeting.
Exactly.
Oh my God, you can't just like learn a word for once in your life and then use it for no reason. You probably just, just learn the word objectify out of nowhere.
Yeah, holy, it was weird. So that was that article. I mean, you know, she's gonna go on like to continue teaching, and I think she has a job somewhere else and stuff, but it is shitty that it happened.
But in India, it's so much harder because of how aggressive shitty men can be over there.
Totally. I mean, she said, "I'll be a role model for students in the classroom and encourage them to think critically with my scholarship and erudition." But she said, "I don't want to be a role model by wearing a sari." That's ridiculous. Because I think, you know, they're like, teachers are supposed to be mentors.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Again, just remember that you're in the educational system. You got to play the game. But she sounds like she's, because you said she has a job, like, I'm sure she's fine.
Yeah, I think she'll be fine after that. It just, in India, it's a
I'm
whole
quickly, like,
ball game.
Looking it up, and it says she claims that the images were uploaded before she became a professor at the university. They should have found out how the student accessed the photo. Instead, they took these steps against me.
It's poor, piss poor handling. And if it is before she joined too, then like, what do they do? Like, you don't need to fire
before
somebody.
Before I joined my corporate job, I cleaned up a lot of my photos and a lot of my posts.
People do
like,
that.
Even if I had like private accounts, I still cleaned that shit up.
Yeah. That's fair.
That should
people
be
do look.
Something that's, I don't know.
So then speaking of cleaning up, actually, that's not even a great segue of this, but Kush, you had sent us some voicemails that were left on Premila Jayapal's phone number, I guess. I don't know if it was her office or
her office.
Okay, she's and for people who don't know, she is our United States representative from Washington's 7th congressional district. She's a Democratic Party member, but more so than whatever party she's in, she's just a really smart fucking lady. Like, the things she says are pretty much always smart. She always speaks her mind. Like, she doesn't back down from motherfuckers. And she's 57 years old. She's from Chennai, and she's been in Congress or in the House of Representatives since 2017. I think she's one of the first, like, Indian women that I had heard of who wasn't, like, changing their fucking name to Nikki Haley and being a Christian, and just kind of, like, who was just unapologetically herself and smart and good, and she's been there for a while. She's starting to come under threats. Some really, like, vile shit was left on her office voicemails. I think we had reported on how a guy even came up in her neighborhood and was arrested for fucking ranting and raving and having a gun on him. And
threatening to kill her.
I think he wasn't arrested. That was the part we were baffled by. We were like, wait, you could do all this? And then he was kind of like taken away, but then
he was arrested and then he was let go.
Yeah.
Think, or something like
something
that.
Something like, we were like baffled, but she's now getting like voicemail threats, and some of the shit was vile as fuck.
That was really jarring to listen to.
But they're also kind of funny because of how uncreative these messages are.
Totally.
Can I play them?
These extremely insecure old white men.
Yeah, it all sounds like the same old guy too. Can I play them?
Yeah. Go for it.
All right.
Yeah, hi, Pramola. Hey, I just wanted to give you a little heads up. Get ready for the worst year of your life. It's going to be turmoil every day. This is going to be fun. Your life is going to be miserable. You stupid fucking... Get ready for turmoil. You're getting it. You're going to get exactly what you deserve. Have a nice day.
What? He sounds like
yourself, you. How do you like sucking that Biden? Hey, Chapel Ball. You gotta be the ugliest motherfucker in the world. Who beat you with an ugly stick?
It really sounds like the same person.
Hey, why don't you guys go back to where you?
Ooh, I like that.
Is it the same guy?
Goddamn citizen. Oh. Name, Congresswoman. Jack off! Yeah, God damn you, liberal. God, your day is coming. God damn. As soon as the president's installed, like on November 4th or 5th, we're coming after all you mother. You're going to be scrubbing floors for the rest of your life, you. Hey, how do you say your name? Congresswoman.
That one's my favorite one. Yo. How do you say your name? Congresswoman bitch jackoff or whatever the fuck.
Yo, they all have the same accent. They're all definitely from the fucking Midwest where people go to fucking rot their brains. Sorry. Yeah. Not sorry.
Those are really scary, but at the same time, it was so funny because of how stupid those messages are. That's why I was laughing.
Yeah, I just want to make sure she's safe. It sounds like there's so much shit going on.
We should protect her at all costs. And it sucks that all these things are going to happen. And then I think we said this the other episode too. People will point back when something does happen and be like, we never saw that coming.
Oh my God.
You know? And it's kind of like, no, these are people who are really out here. Like, I wouldn't put it past, you know how like the uncles are running India, and you know how it's a problem that the right wing nationalist stuff is now kind of percolating out from India. Like, there are Indians here in America who are really like India nationalists, and they support those parties with money and all that sort of shit. I wouldn't be surprised if they fucking, you know, enemy of my enemy shit and just kind of like work with these groups, and the uncles go we should shut her up, you know, we should shut her up, like that's that sort of thing, right? Like I wouldn't put
it
past
these
fuckers.
And then they're going to be like, y'all are the good Indians.
Yeah. Exactly.
Y'all are the good ones.
Exactly. God. That's honestly, that's what that enemy of my enemy shit is. Like,
right.
It's wild. So I hope that, like, I mean, I haven't heard anything else since then. That was like a couple weeks back. So
hope
she's good. But we should, you know, keep talking about these and like make sure she's
but
protected.
The way she made it
costs.
Seem like, the way she made it seem like in her comment was like, That's not like the first time. Like,
it's a regular thing.
Regular shit that
that's
she gets,
so
which is atrocious.
But she decided to post it because of that death threat that came a few weeks before.
Yeah, good for her. I mean, she's unapologetic. Like, she does her fucking thing. Go back to your country. Just like, they need to stop. Like, come up with something better.
And we've been fucking hearing this shit for like decades
now. Come up with something better. You can't pronounce our names. Good for you. You're stupid. Like, come on. Come with something better. Come with something a little better.
Y'all are taking our jobs.
Be like, yo, 800 million of your people in your own country are under the poverty line. What the fuck are you doing? And I'll be like, oh, shit.
Yeah, it's not even, like, educated. Like, oh, shit.
Yeah, I'll be like, oh, shit. All right. All right.
While they're yelling from a trailer park.
Yeah.
On their break off their shift from Walmart.
Yo, straight up. So as... You know, as I'm talking about, I can actually wrap these two stories together. These are really important. As I'm talking about how that right-wing nationalist stuff in India, which has started, originates in India, is trickling out to other places. One such example was that bulldozer that was used in the India Day Parade in Edison, that they had a bulldozer. It had, you know, pictures of like that... Yogi Adityanath, the UP chief minister. It had pictures of Modi, I think, maybe. You know,
yeah, there's Modi too.
And because we do the research and we take a look at this stuff, we know what that bulldozer means. We know why that was out there during the India Day Parade. And rightfully so. We reported on this like an episode before, like the you know, Muslim people in the area, they felt bad about this sort of a thing, and they reported it to the officials who allowed this to happen. And the officials were like, we didn't know that that's a symbol of blah, blah, blah. We discussed this a lot before. So
yeah.
Anyways, yeah. It's now being covered by the New York Times that this bulldozer has become a symbol of right-wing nationalism that is happening here in the US as well amongst, you know, Hindu groups. And
God damn it.
Yeah, so it's like, it's not just, it's getting out there. And so New Jersey Democrats, they recently passed a resolution seeking for the FBI and the CIA to take a probe into these Hindutva groups, which is what they're called, the Hindutva. So a unit of the Democratic Party in Teaneck passed a resolution labeling the U.S.-based Hindutva outfits as domestic offshoots of foreign hate groups. The resolution named several right-wing Hindu groups. Some of these are called the Hindu American Foundation, the Vishwa Hindu Parishad of America, Sewa International, the Infinity Foundation, as among organizations promoting Hindu supremacy in the United States. The resolution was passed, and they're calling on U.S. senators and congressmen from New Jersey, as well as the governor, Phil Murphy, to ask the FBI and the CIA to step up and start doing research on these groups that... they enjoy tax-exempt status here in America, and then they use the money that they collect, and they send it to India to support these nationalist groups. This is all alleged, of course, but this is what they think is happening, and they want research on it. So the resolution noted that Sambit Patra, he's a controversial spokesman for India's ruling Hindu BJP party, served as the Grand Marshal at the parade in Edison and Woodbridge. Where that bulldozer was used. So all that to say, it's now being covered in the New York Times. The Democrats are asking that there's a probe by the CIA and the FBI into it. I hope they get one. Don't know if they will. But the shit is really growing. It's like, it's weird. It's fucking like, dude, you don't live there. You haven't lived there in decades. What is your problem? Yeah. What are you guys getting out of this? Yeah. You know?
Right.
I know, like, how is that affecting where you are?
It doesn't. It's the weirdest thing. That's like when...
That's what I always say to my dad, too, where I was just like, why can't you just find a way to live out here? And, like, we have our own problems. You are now an American citizen. Our country is going through, like, our own shit, you know?
You've been here longer than you were there, so now... So I truly don't get it. I'm like, what is happening? And so similarly in the UK, and this is one that I think is really important that we talk about, because I didn't see anything about this online. I don't remember where I caught an inkling that this was happening, but apparently in Leicester in the United Kingdom, it's a county in the UK. There were like really big fucking riots recently between Hindus and Muslims.
Temple.
Yeah, and yeah.
And I think it started with this like riot outside of a Hindu temple on September 20th.
Yeah, well, the thing is, like, nobody really knows why it started, because supposedly it was after the India versus Pakistan cricket game in the Asia Cup, which was August.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, which makes sense. Which makes sense. And I was watching it. I remember watching it on TV because I think my dad was watching it. And that was August 28th. And these fucking riots and things started, like, a week or two ago.
Yeah,
so... That confused me, because in a lot of the articles when I started looking at this, they were attributing a lot of it to the India versus Pakistan game. But that shit was weeks before. Apparently, people were chanting Jai Shri Ram in front of mosques, and then apparently, other people were tearing down flags at temples, like Hindu temples.
At the temple riot thing, there was about 200, like a mob of 200 people wearing masks, screaming Allahu Akbar.
Okay,
so and you like have climbing that. The fences and throwing shit, and
so have that.
I'm just confused, like, and it's not. It wasn't just old people. In fact, I don't know if there were that many old people there.
I don't think it was.
Like,
I think it was.
No, I don't think it would be. Yeah. Old people.
It was younger people. I think like 8 people got arrested for like inciting violence. 8 or 18, something like that. And then
which
I saw
is scary
an article,
because. Oh. You know, we think that it's just that generation, but there's a lot of us that are getting brainwashed too.
I saw an article that I couldn't read today. It was behind a paywall, and like it talked about how there was possibly a fake kidnapping and fake videos that circulated beforehand that were being boosted by a lot of these right-wing hate groups, like Hindu hate groups, but also like really right, like extremist Islamic groups as well. And it kind of led to this boiling point there. I wish I could have read more of it to understand, because that seems very, very feasible as well. That's, you know, somebody was talking about, hey, this is happening, but it really wasn't. And then it incited a lot of violence between these different groups. The sad fucking part about this is that like in Leicester, if I'm not mistaken, for like 50 years, they've actually been a community that people hold up as a, look, Hindus and Muslims can live together cooperatively here for like 50 fucking years. This is the first time something's happened. And it always just leads me to be like, what the, like, why do you fucking care? What do you care for? Grow up. Like, you people are such shitheads. You're such fucking shitheads. You can't give me
none of these people have to worry about.
Huh?
None of these people have to worry about the real life everyday shit we're worrying about. Like, hey, do we have enough money to survive and like make something of ourselves? Every day we're stressing out about what we want to do with our lives and making a mark in this world and trying to get a house and a car and like maybe having a life. And these people are just like, oh, I don't like Hindus. Well, I don't like Muslims. What?
I think possibly they worry about the same things, but they pin their losses on the other group.
So the reason why they couldn't buy their dancing wing Tesla is because of the Muslims.
Yeah, no. When you talk to people like this, that
you're
is exactly,
doing good job.
Yeah, I mean, I know for you, I know. No, it's infuriating. You're rightfully so. It's infuriating. But I think that is what it is. We don't blame like whole entire groups of people. Right for
we just
calamities
we
that
I do
us.
I blame our whole parents generation.
Yeah, sure. right. Besides that, for sure. But there are people who, yeah, they're struggling. They're struggling too, and unfortunately, a lot of these groups can prey on that as well. They could be like, you know, why you're struggling? It's because these fuckers took all your jobs, right? It's not a new thing, God. Right?
They took your jobs.
Yeah, it's just so fucking weird with the India Pakistan thing or like the Hindu Muslim thing when you don't live there and you haven't lived there. And let's be fucking honest, the partition doesn't fucking like reflect your life. It doesn't, not anymore. That shit happened so long ago. Like, yeah, it changed the
tradition. How come our parents don't? How come we don't blame the white people for the partition?
Yeah.
How come we blame each other?
I'm saying they just like blame each other.
Their agenda
like,
worked because they wanted to pin us against one another.
And like that shit like affects the trajectory of people's lives, of course. But like we're 70, 80, 90 years out from these things. Like, get off of it. It's like the people who were really mad at the queen dying. Like, yes, you can be mad, but like don't make it the cornerstone of your whole fucking identity. And don't go like... Yeah. Trying to blame everything on other people.
You can feel what you feel like, about whatever. It. You don't have to go around inciting actual violence.
I just hope this sort of shit isn't going to start happening here too, like in America. Although in Edison, they are fucking putting bulldozers out there. So who
That's
knows?
What I'm saying.
You
know?
It's getting close.
It's getting close, right? It's shitty. It's like these people.
It's like I don't want to live in neighborhoods.
Especially when it's our first generation.
Yeah.
People.
That's infuriating.
What the fuck, dude? What are you doing?
I think everybody should be stripped of their identities.
Boom. And stripped.
Have you
we should all be a naked
before,
society.
Maybe a similar sentiment, but this is like more specific. I think I said racism should be okay, and everybody should register as racists if they are racist. Right.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. That was good. That was a funny one. I like that. Yeah. I like that. Just register.
But people should be stripped of their identities, whether it's gender, ethnicity, or religion. Mm. All of those things should be stripped from you as a human being.
Imagine.
And then just move on with your life and see what happens.
What?
Living for.
I think it would be so hard, but yeah. And I mean, that would be right, like that super ultimate solution, which is like everyone's the same. Let's go.
Yeah.
To get there, though,
it would be the final solution.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. to get there, though, would be wild. Anyways, I see what Kush is doing here. The final solution.
Oh,
so
God.
the final, and speaking of final, the final article here that I have to cover, which I will cover. And then we did a really good fucking job getting through all this, guys. And for the listeners, mm-hmm. thank you for listening and continuing to listen, is resort politics, which is what I talked about really early on. And Rhea pretty much
nailed. Cancun.
So resort politics is a thing that happens in India. It's happened in Indian politics for a really, really long time. So chief ministers, people like that, Yogi Adityanath, people who basically are the chief political person in their state, right, in India, they have assemblymen in their parties. These are, I think they're voted on as well. They're, you can't be a party of one. You must have other people, of course. So the leader has all his assemblymen people. These guys allegedly... Again, this has been going on throughout the entirety of Indian politics. These guys allegedly can be paid off to switch their votes like it's nobody's business. Which doesn't surprise me. Doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah.
So politicians and analysts say that seeking to poach rival parties' assembly members with money or favors is a longstanding feature of Indian regional politics. And it's also
feature.
Yeah. And it's also practiced by opposition groups. So this was being written about in this article because a few days before a really crucial trust vote, a party, the UPA, sought to prevent the assemblymen from the coalition from defecting by flying 32 of them on a chartered jet to a neighboring state. Indians have coined this sort of thing, resort politics, to describe the increasingly common practice of flying the assemblymen on junkets to other parts of India in order to keep them out of the reach of rival parties. These guys get fucking vacations so that they don't change their votes.
Oh, that's
my it's God. Amazing. I was like, this is the best scam I've ever heard of in my life. So in June, the government of Maharashtra slipped from the grasp of the Shiv Sena party, which was replaced by a BJP-led coalition. So they were, the Shiv Sena party, I guess, was the majority, and then they were replaced by the BJP party. It came after a 10-day odyssey in which the assemblymen who were being poached...
I don't like that word.
Yeah, they crisscrossed the country. So they basically went on a journey for 10 days to escape, like, voting. And that's how the majority changed in this state. This Shiv Sena assemblyman who switched his loyalty to the BJP, he led a bunch of his assemblymen to Gujarat, then to two other states, Assam and in India's northeast and Goa in the west. And the journey, followed closely by Indian media, ended when a spice jet plane brought the rebels back to Maharashtra. And the new government was installed.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, this is a fucking thing.
Cool.
Isn't it crazy? I was like,
that's insane. That's pretty crazy.
Bro, they just basically just pay off these guys like it's nothing. Send them to another state, probably put them up in a hotel, give them some
food. Five-star hotel.
And they just go chill out here while we take over the government in your state. And then you can come back.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that crazy?
Politics is crazy.
Indian politics is fucking wild beyond belief to me.
I mean, they probably do shit like that here too. It's just more low key.
For sure. Yeah. It's probably way more low key and they're not traveling spice jet. So that's our episode, guys. We clocked in at an hour 42 today.
I have one tiny, tiny, nice piece of news.
Oh, good. Go yeah, for it. Go for it.
Because you guys think that I don't do my homework, but I did it. There's this man named Mahendra Kumar. I think he's in Delhi. I'm not sure. But India just faced Delhi and parts of India just faced one of the worst heat waves in record history, like to the point where no one's outside. It's in the 100 and like 25 to 30 degree range. And this man, this auto rickshaw driver, he actually created a little garden on top of his auto to try and keep it cool for his passengers, which is a really random and kind of sweet thing. Do you know how to add?
So it keeps shade over the...
It's not the bicycle. It's the one with, it's a three-wheel actual auto. But I guess, like, the top of, like, the auto is not very thick. Like, that material's not very thick. So I remember when I'm
so it still gets hot.
Yeah, it's exactly. It still gets hot. So this auto rickshaw, this auto driver basically made, like, a little garden bed on top where there's growing, like, he's growing, like, lettuce and tomatoes and things like that to try and keep his passengers cool during the heat wave. He's like, it's like a natural air conditioner. And I was like, that's a really, like, nice thing for someone to do that didn't have to do that and also may not have known how to do it and all this stuff. He just decided in the midst of this giant heat wave where there's, like, people dying from 130 degrees outside that he'll still keep working and also do something nice for people. And I thought that was very sweet.
This sounds better than that idea with the fucking the mask with the fan that no one can afford
with the helmet that we talked about.
This sounds much better than that.
Like a tiny thing. Sure. He has one auto. It's not like he's like you know, some major dude in a corporation who can do this for everybody, but it's just like, it's really nice to see like individuals just doing
did he say what he can grow on the roof?
Yeah, he already tomatoes. So I from what I
you can
read,
grow tomatoes on a moving vehicle.
I guess so. I don't really know how. It says he had tomatoes and lettuce, but I think he definitely has more. What? I'm sure, but...
Greens.
Yeah, exactly. If you see... Actually, I'm going to try to share my screen for a second. It looks really, like, tall. It looks like you could grow fucking corn and shit.
Like, can he go under bridges? Like, what is going on?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's not that tall.
Oh, wow. I mean, that's really cool looking. So there we go, guys. That's episode 130 fucking 3.
That was really well done.
I think that was good.
Good job, guys.
I think that was good. I think that was all right. So people will get an idea of what we're going to talk about up front, and then we just fucking go through it, see what happens.
Yeah, they don't have to read the description anymore. Mm-hmm.
Pretty much.
They can just listen.
You can just kind of listen, you know? So until next time, which I don't know when next time will be, maybe 2 weeks, something like that.
2 weeks?
We said we were going to try to do every 2 weeks now.
We should have a good sign-off.
This was 3 weeks because I was on vacation,
Right. We should have a good sign off. You'd be like, this is MMT signing off. Done.
Good one.
Rhea, play the music.
Good one.
Okay. Rhea, play the music.
Bye. This is MMT signing off.
Mild Mannered and Timid is produced by Kunal, Kush, and Rhea. Edited by Kush and Rhea. With music and scoring by Rhea. I'm generally useless. See you next time.